fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Sunday, the 17th day of January, 2010. I guess I'll get used to saying 2010 at some point, or 2010, or 010. I guess there's a number of ways we could designate this current year. We do have 2 special guests today, one for each hour, and I'll be introducing my guest in a moment, but there's a lot of talk about what's going on in Haiti and the response or lack thereof. To a large extent, it reminds me of Hurricane Katrina, which, of course, Katrina was considerably different in that it took place in a first world country with functioning roads leading to where there was help, airports that were functional and so forth, where equipment could be dropped off and people and supplies. Even then, people don't understand that FEMA, for example, has almost no resources of its own. Federal Emergency Management, can you say management 3 times, agency, they coordinate and manage resources that belong to state and local authorities, and some federal, of course. They have very little of their own. There was a lot of finger-pointing about people not being evacuated from New Orleans, fingers being pointed at the director of FEMA, who, of course, resigned. FEMA did not have dozens and dozens of school buses with drivers any place, let alone New Orleans, to evacuate people. They didn't then. They don't now. The city of New Orleans school districts did have dozens and dozens of perfectly excellent fueled up school buses ready to roll, and they were not used. We'll get back to our, we introduce our guest after the first break. You all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
You've got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 17th of January, 2010. Well, we have on hold my friend Ann Morrison. Ann is an engineer, among other things. Ann and I have been friends now for, I'm guessing about 10 years or so. And she's a researcher and is very involved with preparedness. She has a business where she sells preparedness-related items that I found very useful. I've incorporated some of them into what I do. She's more knowledgeable than most private sector persons outside government agencies when it comes to preparedness and the reality of what it takes to be prepared as opposed to the fantasy of duct tape and plastic sheeting will keep you safe. Without further ado, Ann, are you there? Hello?
Can you hear me, John?
I hear you now, yes. We had a technical difficulty, but you're with us. Well, Ann, you had more of a heads up. I have to admit, you've been a good sport a couple of times over the past year or two. I've called you up with 1 hour notice to be on the radio, and you've always been a good sport and jumped right in there. But this time you've had a couple of days and to make more detailed preparations than normal, which is a good thing, I guess, for both of us. I know you're tracking these earthquakes, and you're looking at how they're connected through the various plates. Tell us about the connection between the Oklahoma City earthquake and the Haiti earthquake, if you would, please.
Well, I'm going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right.
The good is, now if you look at the published maps, there are a few seismic stations, and those stations have published maps that show, you know, we are on the North American plate. And what they show is the direction that the plate moves when there's an earthquake. There aren't very many of these stations. It's kind of a new thing that the seismologists are doing.
Okay.
And what they indicate is that the North American plate, as I'm sure you know, the Pacific plate abuts right up against California, and in fact, some of the cities in California are on the Pacific plate, for instance, Santa Barbara.
Right.
And the Pacific plate is moving north, except that since the North American plate isn't a square or a rectangle,
right.
It's really moving towards the northwest.
Okay.
And so that means that the North American plate, so the Pacific plate is moving to the northwest, the North American plate at California is moving towards the southeast. Does that make sense to you?
I'm with you, yeah. I'm with you.
Okay, you're with me.
Yep.
All right. Now, I looked at the ramifications over here on the Haiti quake. Now, we had a 6.5 just off of Northern California, north of San Francisco. And it happened to be on a triple junction with the Juan de Fuca plate and the Pacific plate and the North American plate.
Okay.
Now, that 6.5 would have created stresses along that boundary between the Pacific plate and the North American plate. You say, well, it probably released some stresses, too.
Right.
And it may have, at least on that side. But if you look closely at the Caribbean Sea and the fault structure that is around the Caribbean Sea, in other words, the Caribbean plate, it's like a mini ring of fire.
Really?
Yeah. It's got some volcanoes in it. Sulfur is now erupting. It has another one called Kekemgemi, which you may not have heard of.
I haven't, no. I know it's in Costa Rica, there's at least one erupting, isn't there?
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So if you consider this as a mini, mini, miniature ring of fire on the Pacific Ocean, I mean, you know, it's a lot different scale.
Right.
It has a couple of volcanoes, and then it is surrounded by different trenches and subduction zones. And it isn't really that the North American plate is moving into this area, although I heard that on the television. It's just that there's a small piece of it called the restraining bend that is moving, that is subducting under Puerto Rico.
For those who don't know, subducting means going underneath.
Yes, it's going underneath.
Right.
So when that gives, which is what happened when the 7.0 hit Hispaniola at Haiti, the earthquake itself was on the transform fault, which goes from that place all the way to the Pacific.
Right.
So stresses from the Pacific plate that resulted in a 6.5 earthquake off of the northwest coast of California could have been transmitted down along that transform fault into the Caribbean. The 7.0 hit on Haiti, and as such, it would have relieved some of this pressure on this part of the Caribbean fault that is moving southward. Now, as a result of that, on the other side of that is the North American plate.
Right.
So we have a North American plate that is moving southeastward on the west side of the country, and it's trying to move south on the east side of the country. And what happened, I think, and what seems to have been happening over the past year is they've been having what they would like to call swarms of earthquakes in very close to Oklahoma City.
Right.
Now, this is very unusual. Now, and we really can't call them a swarm because the swarm of earthquakes is usually defined by weeks, maybe a month at the outermost.
Okay.
Days or weeks. And you'll have hundreds of earthquakes within that time period. These have been occurring over the past year.
Okay.
And in the numbers of 50, which is a large number for the middle of the country.
Well, in Oklahoma, that area, Oklahoma City, normally doesn't have any earthquakes at all, does it?
That's right.
Right.
And there's no faults there. And so.
Oh.
Well, because it's interior to the tectonic plate that is North American.
Okay, well, New Madrid's interior also, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's the ugly part.
Well, let's hear it.
All right. If this, I'm going to call it a rash of earthquakes under Oklahoma City, and they're still monitoring them, if it is due to the tension that has been brought about between the 6.5 on the west coast and the 7.0 on the east coast, then that's good, because that means that the stress is being relieved.
Right.
But, so that's the good part. The bad part is we know that Soufriere Hills volcano is erupting, and you should see, you can go up on the internet and look at the pictures. I mean, it's...
Where is that located?
That is located almost due east of Haiti.
Okay. Is it in the ocean or on an island?
It's on an island, Montserrat.
Okay, Montserrat. Okay. That's French, isn't it?
I would think so with that kind of spelling.
Yeah, I would think so.
Although there's a Kick'em Jenny, and I bet you that's British at one time.
Well, that sounds like some silly British sailor would name it that, yeah.
Yeah. So we have the Soufriere Hills volcano, and it's erupting, and it's sending an ash cloud into the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, that's a big eruption. You can see it on the satellite pictures.
Right.
Now, people who are in the pathway of that ash cloud should take precautions. It hasn't reached land yet, and it may not reach land, but you need to take precautions. But let's not get into that right now.
Yeah, so that's not going to affect anybody listening to us, I don't believe.
Well, it depends on how big the eruption is and which way the winds are blowing.
Well, that's true. I guess it could get up here.
Yeah, like I said, the ash cloud right now is heading into the Gulf of Mexico, and they have not given an estimate on when that's going to stop erupting.
Well, I know it's bad news for aircraft flying through an ash cloud. It just tears up engines.
Yeah, well, it's little tiny particles of rock, and essentially they get into your lungs and if you breathe it, and it turns into cement.
Well, isn't that special?
Stay away from volcanic ash.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's get back to the connection between Oklahoma and Haiti and how that affects us, if at all.
This is the bad. A volcano means a flow of magma. Sometimes an earthquake means a flow of magma.
Okay.
Certainly, I would think that the earthquake that occurred near Oklahoma City, although it's called Jones, Oklahoma, the rash is called the Jones, Oklahoma swarm or rash, would probably be due to a flow of magma.
Okay.
Because there aren't any faults there. It's in the middle of the continental plate. You see what I'm saying?
I see that. Is there a possibility there could be a volcano in Oklahoma?
Well, you know, Popocatépetl petal in Mexico, it grew out of a cornfield at the early part of the 20th century.
Hold on, we got a break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Attention, ladies! Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Sad for the rest. Nobody does it half as good as you. Baby, you're the best.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 17th of January, 2010. And before we get back into the magma New matter. Give us your contact information. Tell us the name of your business.
Yes, I am in a business called Homeland Defense for You, Inc., and I have a website. It's www.homeland-defense4u.com.
Okay. Okay. Homeland-defense?
D-E-F-E-N-S-E.
Okay.
Number four, the letter U.
.com. Okay.
And there's a link.
Is there a phone number you want to give out?
Area code 314-727-5252.
Okay, 314-727-5252. Okay, before the break, we're talking about this magma that could be moving as a consequence of what's happening in Haiti and Oklahoma City. And where does it go from there?
Oh, okay, so we're pretty, I mean, it's a good guess, better than 50% that there's magma moving at the volcano at Sofia.
Right.
It could be that there was magma involved in the earthquake at Haiti. underneath it.
Okay.
That would be one reason why the plates would move, is if it were nudged by magma underneath it.
Would now, magma act as a lubricant to get stuff to cut loose and move that wouldn't otherwise?
Well, sometimes magma cuts channels through the bedrock.
Okay.
And, in fact, at one time I had studied a channel that went into Yellowstone, and it came from Hudson Bay.
Whoa. What's the distance there? How many hundreds of miles?
Well, at least 5,000, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, it was a considerable distance. And what you could see is that if you went back from an earthquake at Yellowstone, you'd find these other earthquakes along this channel.
Really?
So sometimes the magma will cut a channel through the bedrock. And when it does that, it's vicious, viscous. It's very sticky. You know, it's not smooth. And so it kind of grabs the rock.
Right.
And it can exert considerable force depending on what it's doing. I mean, obviously, if it's going to blow up a mountain or an island like it did in Krakatoa.
Well, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. When you say a channel, what's the dimensions of the channel, the height and width of it?
You know, that is, I'm not sure that even the volcanists know. The flow of magma is so far deep. Now, sometimes this was a shallow earthquake at Haiti.
Right.
If it had been deep, then I would say for sure magma was involved.
Right.
But I don't know. The only reason I think magma might be involved is because it's so close to Sufria Hills volcano, which is erupting. So I know that there's a built-up magma pressure at that volcano. And I think that the case could be made that magma is also impacted the magnitude 7 at Haiti. It may have been that earthquake would have only been a 6, but because of the magma pressure, maybe it went to a 7.
Okay, now, it's good to refresh and remind people what was done to the Richter scale after Charles F. Richter died in 1984, 1985. You want to refresh people's memory in?
Well, you do that better than I do, but I do know that they...
Well,
yeah,
I can do that. Okay. Well, the Richter scale was developed by Charles F. Richter, and when you go from a 3.0 to a 3.1, for example, you double the magnitude of the earthquake. What happened after he died, and I'm convinced it's because they knew what would be happening 25 years in the future, which is right now, they reduced the Richter scale by one full number value. On the original Richter scale, what happened last Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Haiti would have been an 8.0 earthquake, which would certainly give a lot more credence to why even the good buildings were flattened. That's huge. At what point, Ann, do they call an earthquake a great earthquake?
Well, they start with strong at 6, and then great at 7,
okay.
Massive at 8, and catastrophic at 9. The Sumatran earthquake was a 9.
What was the one at 8 again?
8 was massive.
So it would have been, on the original earthquake scale, it would have been massive. A little side note here, a friend of mine, he was a commercial concrete engineer all his life, and in the mid-80s, early to mid-80s, he was asked to take a contract in Haiti to do some concrete construction down there. I don't know if it was buildings or bridges or what, but I do know that at one point 20-something years ago, they were bringing in well-qualified concrete engineers to do some building that was of a nature similar to what they would build in this country in terms of engineering. Another break coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
John Moore is as close as your telephone. Call him right now. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 17th of January, 2010. And I think we covered the Richter scale thing sufficiently for the time being. Let's get back to the magma flow and how that may impact the middle of the country here on the New Madrid Fault.
Okay, well, if you plot the magnitude 7 in Haiti and the 6.5 that was off Northern California on a globe,
right.
I know that that's not everybody has a globe. And then if you drop in the 4 that's occurred recently at Jones, Oklahoma, that's near Oklahoma City, you'll see that they line up. And that's why I thought originally that maybe what was happening under Oklahoma City had to do with the stresses on the North American plate as it was, as the Pacific plate was going northward or north east northwestward and the North American plate was going southwestward.
Right. I'm with you.
So there was a build up of stress and that's what I thought. But then I got to looking and I realized that it would be really unusual if magma weren't involved somehow because there are no faults at Oklahoma City.
Right.
I mean there might be surface faults that they find, or if they have a series of earthquakes, they might say, well, maybe there's a fault there. But it's internal to the Pacific, to the North American tectonic plate. So it's not, there's no faults there. It's not like an edge boundary.
Right. So it's normally a quite stable, no earthquake zone, normally.
Right. But if you project magma flow, if you want to take that into consideration, and you say, well, it's at this volcano and it's at Haiti, and it points right kind of to Oklahoma City. And you just wonder if there's magma flow because of the pressure at the volcano and at Haiti. There might be pressure against the continental plate at Oklahoma City. In a line, you know, these things do not flow in straight lines.
Right.
I mean, you should look, if you look at a map of the trenches and rises and the faults and everything in the Caribbean Sea, there's no straight lines involved. But if you can also see that there is a pressure into the Gulf against the North American plate.
Right.
The Gulf. Okay. And so if there's pressure there, it's possible that there is magma under Oklahoma City that is scraping the bottom of the continental plate, so to speak, or that it's found tunnels through it somehow so that it's not right at the bottom.
And a magma flow would be going dangerously close to the New Madrid seismic zone, wouldn't it?
Well, if you look at it on a globe and you draw a line, it's actually going to be south of New Madrid, but yes, it's dangerously close, and it certainly would go through the Hot Springs National Park in Arkansas. So I would suggest to you and your listeners is that you monitor the Hot Springs National Park in Arkansas for any unusual activity.
Well, that's something that any of us can do very easily. We're going to be dependent on somebody at Hot Springs doing it, aren't we?
Yes, and I do not know that there is anybody there. some of the seismographs have not been working that are on the New Madrid. Cathedral Cave is one that's on the international network, and it hasn't worked for half a year.
Really?
So you just have to pick a seismograph and watch it. That's one way that you can get some understanding. Find the closest seismograph to the Hot Springs National Park or to Oklahoma City. There's one in Hockley, Texas that I watch.
Do they put their readings up in real time?
Oh, yeah. They have a real-time seismic network that includes Hockley, Texas, Disney World in Florida.
Really?
So I watch those two. I think there is a place in Indiana, there's Wyandotte Cave that I watch because there has been some projection as if there's a significant earthquake in Indiana that would start the New Madrid going.
Right. And we got a caller here on hold. Phil in North Carolina.
How you doing?
Good.
I work in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was there this summer. And on the news there, they were reporting that they had discovered a fault line under the Mississippi River right that goes right through Memphis. And I just wondered how, you know, if maybe that is tied in somehow, and if you could comment on that.
Well, do you recall, Phil, did they say it was part of the New Madrid seismic zone?
No, I just remember them saying they had discovered a fault line recently, underneath the Mississippi.
Well, without knowing more, it is a high likelihood that it is a branch of the New Madrid. And let Ann and I talk about that. Thank you for your call, Phil.
Yeah.
Okay. Ann, have you heard about this?
Well, just to the point that FEMA is really concerned, and they say that if that fault goes, we're going to lose communication, we're going to lose our bridges, we're going to lose our roads because of the infrastructure. We're going to lose power.
Even without that fault, we've always known that the proximity of the known branches of the New Madrid were enough to bring down all the old housing in Memphis as well as St. Louis.
Yes, if you read the book 8.4, that's about an earthquake it's a fictional book, but it tells about what would happen if an 8.4 earthquake struck at Memphis.
It's an excellent book. I just dug out of my private library and loaned it to a friend Thursday. There's a lot of science in that book. It's written, you're right, it is a novel on one hand, On the other, this author, who, by the way, at the time he was a Post-Dispatch newspaper reporter, the author did his homework, and there's a lot of science in there, isn't there?
There's a lot of science in there, and he describes the chaos that would follow very graphically.
He does. And you've probably ran into this. I know I have. FEMA has two different estimates for fatalities in St. Louis and Memphis if there's a major shake on the New Madrid. One is open source that anybody can see, is openly published. The other is a classified version that they only allow chiefs of police and fire chiefs look at and keep for themselves. And the difference between the two is many, many tens of thousands of fatalities based on an earthquake either happening at night, which would be the worst, or in the daytime, which would be considerably not as bad because of the nature of the housing stock in both Memphis and St. Louis. Being in the older parts of both those cities, the housing stock is 2- and 3-story masonry buildings. And when I say masonry, that means the bricks hold up the building, which were all built before World War II, as opposed to brick homes built after World War II are basically frame houses with a brick veneer. And the bricks hold themselves up, but don't hold up the building. So an earthquake at night, people would be at home in those masonry structures. In the daytime, they'd be in school and at work and away, and the fatalities would be dramatically less.
Another thing to factor in is that we have a lot of mines in Missouri and Illinois along the river, and those mines were abandoned. And we currently have a school over in East St. Louis that is sinking into the ground, and it's no longer being used as a school because of the structural problems.
The mine's collapsing underneath it.
The mine's, so you have to keep that in the back.
Well,
of
that's
the
a good point. I know on our side of the river in Missouri, we've got a lot of deep mines, lead mines. Illinois, I know they had a lot of open pit coal mines and still do. And as far as underground mines, I'm not sure what they were mining for, but they could have been coal, it could have been lead, it could have been any number of things. But the point being, you're right, these mines do exist, and they're basically engineered to hold up what's above them under normal circumstances. But as you point out, even that can fail, and that's why that school is being abandoned in East St. Louis, because of the failure of the engineering that was done in that mine however many decades ago it was.
And I did some research to try to find a map of mines within Missouri, and somebody else had done the same thing, a graduate student, and in her thesis she said, well, these mines are mostly described in documents that are kept by the county courts, and they are not available online, and most of them are, I mean, there's no inventory of them, and if they're missing, we wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, my slight knowledge of mines and mining would basically agree with that, Ann. County courthouse, the recorder of deeds office, and the assessor's office, those would be the two places where those kind of documents would be kept. And no, there's no online cataloging of that kind of thing at all, not to my knowledge.
So subsidence is a problem. If there were to be a big earthquake, and Memphis certainly, I haven't heard of any, I'm going to call them rash of earthquakes at Memphis, but if that occurs, I would take that as a signal that it might be time to think about bugging out.
Oh, I think so. I think you're right. But our listeners in other parts of the country may not understand the significance of what this means, the New Madrid seismic zone. If you look at the Mississippi River between the Canadian border and the Gulf of Mexico, you can count the bridges, and it's, what, about 2 dozen bridges or so, Ann, something like that?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a whole lot, given the magnitude of how important this is. There are maps showing the pipelines that carry heating oil and propane, natural gas, from Texas to the northeast, and those welded steel pipes, which typically are around 20 inches in diameter or so, are not meant to move back and forth like a slinky. And they go right on, underneath the Mississippi River, or over on top of the New Madrid seismic zone. So clearly and obviously, they're at risk of being severely damaged and destroyed, along with the pumps, highly specialized pumps that only come from Europe. A really severe shake on the New Madrid would come close to cutting the country in two. St. Louis is one of the hubs of rail lines and super high and interstate highways and pipelines and cables that carry the fiber optics, telecommunications. All that would be at risk of being severely damaged or completely destroyed because of the proximity to the New Madrid seismic zone. We would survive. We would get around it as a country, but it would cause massive, massive problems, especially if the locks and dams were broken and damaged. That's how the majority of our grains are moved from the grain belt south to where they're transported to wherever they go out at New Orleans over the barges that have to go through locks and dams. So there's a lot to this, a lot of infrastructure at risk that would be, it took better part of a century to put in place the infrastructure that's at risk, and it's not going to be repaired in 4 or 5 years. Would you agree, Ann?
Oh, 4 or 5 years? Absolutely
right,
not.
Right. It would take decades to replace the infrastructure once it's broken to that extent.
And, especially in, well, every place, food comes in on truck. Most communities only have 3 days' supply of food, and there's no warehouses like they used to have. And if truck traffic can't get through, you're not going to get food in.
That's right. That's right. It would be very disruptive to the entire country. We would eventually work around it, but for quite a few weeks, if not months, the whole country would be affected. And, of course, East Missouri, Southern Illinois, Memphis would be affected for decades after a severe shake.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in Memphis or Paducah.
Memphis, Paducah, City of St. Louis, all those areas are at extreme risk. It could be so bad that, and I'm anticipating this may happen in Haiti, where they might just abandon the damaged areas and start fresh. It could be that bad.
Wow.
Well, you're not talking, you see, people who are involved in construction, they look at a building in Haiti flat on the ground and think, well, you clear it off and you rebuild it. No. There's an entire infrastructure you can't even see underground.
Mm-hmm.
Pipes for fresh water, pipes for sewage, all kinds of telecommunications and electric. That's much of it is underground. In a third world country, most of the power and telecommunications will be above ground. But all that would be broken also. And at some point, it becomes more cost effective to just abandon it all as opposed to rebuilding it.
Well, and with the rising sea levels, that might be a good idea anyway because those coastlines are going to be flooded.
Well, you know about that, and I know about it, and the powers that be know about it, but they can't admit it publicly. So they will pretend as if things will always be normal and sea level will always be what we know it to be at the moment.
Can we just change the subject for just a few minutes?
Let's do.
Let's talk about the blocking high that was set up over Greenland and caused so much snow and cold here in the United States and over Europe.
Okay.
What happened was the weathermen reported, and I looked on their graphs, and sure enough, there was a big high. That means it was more dense high. Then it sat over Greenland, and it didn't move. Now, there's a couple of reasons why blocking highs occur. Usually we see a blocking high over Bermuda, or we'll see a blocking high in the middle of the country called an omega. But we've never seen one in the wintertime over Greenland.
First time.
And what I've heard the meteorologists now talk about stacked lows. And I believe what happened was it became a stacked high. And that's when you have a surface high that over it forms a high high, a higher level high.
Right.
And the jet stream, sure enough, was, that's at 30,000 feet,
right,
was in a high position. In other words, it was rotating the winds in a clockwise direction. So you had a surface high, and then it was caught by the jet stream high, and that's what I call a stacked high. So you've got a high on top of a high. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it does. And what's the consequence of that happening?
Well, highs are different than lows.
We got a break, Ann. We'll come back after the break. Everybody stay tuned.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard, and also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, 1 heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 17th of January. Ann, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Don.
Okay. Let's get your contact information out again, your website and your phone number.
And the website is www.homeland-defense4u.com. Area code 314-727-5252.
All right, 314-727-5252. I know you have a variety of products here to help people be safe from the things that we're concerned about, and people really need to check that out. Tell us about the Chinook.
Yeah. So what happens is when air masses fall, for instance, along the front range of the Rocky Mountains, the air mass is compressed because they hit the ground. And there's no place for them to go, and there's more wind coming down on top of them. There's more air coming down on top of them. So gases that compress, which is what air is, a gas, heat up. And that's called, in my part of the country, which was the Northwest, was called a Chinook wind. That's what the Indians had named it. Well, in a high, in a low, you've got like tornadoes. So the air is rising.
Right.
Until the point where the ice becomes heavy enough and it'll fall and makes hailstones. But that's not air falling. That's the water falling. It's frozen water. A high operates in just the opposite. It doesn't. The air does not rise. The air falls. And if you want to see a good demonstration of that, watch that movie The Day After Tomorrow.
Right.
Because they demonstrated that very well. And so if we had a stacked high over Greenland and it was stationary, then air was falling in that high. And as it fell, it compressed. And as it compressed, it got warmer. And then it hit the ice that's on Greenland. So we had warmer than usual air hitting the ice on Greenland, which would speed up the glacier melt.
So we're having glacier melt in Greenland in the middle of winter. Is that what you're telling us?
That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, my.
And not only that, the low that came in, and there was a low, and it was a big low. That means it was a very deep low. Came in, and I watched it. It bounced off this high.
Right.
And it went retrograde. Retrograde means it moves from east to west instead of west to east.
Mm-hmm.
And it set up over, like, Montreal. And then on the lows operate in a counterclockwise movement, and it was dragging polar air down into the Midwest. Meanwhile, this high that was over Greenland, on the right side of that, I guess I'd say on the east side of that, it was dragging air down from Russia into Europe. So we had cold in Europe, record colds, and we had record colds in the Midwest.
Yeah, I had minus 4.5 degrees here a week ago today. So, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And this accounts for the blizzards they've been having in Scotland, England, and Ireland.
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Okay.
And it's all because this high, stacked high, landed over Greenland. And they say it landed over Greenland because Greenland is warmer than it used to be. Now, that I don't know about, but that's what I've heard from meteorologists.
Right. Well, there's an awful lot of fresh water locked up there. It's the second largest source of fresh water after the Antarctic, I believe, isn't it?
That's right. And it's all on top of land, which means that it all contributes to ocean rise. And they're thinking that if that glacier melts and slips into the ocean, there may be half a foot rise in sea level around the world.
That's huge. We are out of time. Ann, thank you for your time. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, John. Bye.
Okay, y'all stay tuned. We got my special guest, Tim Spencer, coming up at the top of the hour. Hold on.
With recent